Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
And this is Abe Thompson on the New Cyber Frontier, coming to you from the SecureSat Studios here in Colorado Springs. Today we have the distinct privilege of having Dr. Bharat Wawal. He is Associate Professor of Cybersecurity at Gannon University, but a very decorated and long history in other academic institutions as well. Dr. Wawal, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Excellent. So, Doctor, how did you sort of enter into cybersecurity? What did your journey look like from developing an interest and being educated and then jumping into the academic side for sure?
Yeah, here is my very interesting journey. Like, my education background is nuclear physics. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a job in nuclear physics field. I work in pharma industry, mostly in chemistry, medical field, most of the life. And I never used my education during my work. And when I came to US, I'm actually from Nepal, a very small country, but Mount Everest, highest mountain on earth, is very popular.
Oh, definitely.
And my habit is every morning, I take morning walk around Mount Everest.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Had my attention. I just hop up to the top. Sir Edmund Hillary and I would meet for coffee.
Right. No. So I only get opportunity to take a flight, mountain flight. That's only my experience with Mount Everest. Then I was in a pharma company. I worked as a sales representative. I started with medical representative, what we call in pharma, and became a CEO of the pharma company.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually I came to US, and I was interested to study the business because my background was not a business, and I was handling the business.
Yeah.
I need to know what's theory underlying the business, what is real business is. And while I did my MBA, and then I realized only business skills and knowledge are not sufficient in today's businesses to survive.
Sure.
We need to know about technology.
Yeah.
If you don't know about technology, you cannot survive your businesses. What is the right for business? So that's why I ended with doing PhD in cybersecurity from one of the, I think, nation's top university in cybersecurity at Towson University in Maryland, which is in Maryland. So from where I did my PhD. Mm-hmm. And then I started my research. My research was originally I wanted to do on cluster computing, supercomputing.
Yes.
My goal. But accidentally, I came up with some concept of split computing. So original goal of my research thesis was working on high performance and cluster computing and working on supercomputer. Mm-hmm. But somehow accidentally came up with the split protocol. Split protocol is kind of a idea, accidentally, this was unintentional. Nobody was my advisor, nobody had
sure.
What I am doing, I encountered and I found, and I say this, the result experiment was what we call is that was impossible to explain somebody why the performance is higher.
Sure.
So normally one computer, the capacity is say 100%.
Right.
So two computer, let's say one computer can process 1,000. So when we put together, so maximum, they should do less than 2,000.
Hmm.
There is no way they can process more than 2,000. So I came up like around 25% more performance.
Wow.
And that was like, it took me like 10 years to understand why this high performance came. And then we came up this idea of split computer, which this is kind of in home, like in family.
Sure.
Let's say normally we do our job, like if family, I have a job, mm-hmm. I can ask my son, my daughter, like take care of this thing.
Yeah.
So everybody, ultimately job is done. So we never know that whether we are delegating or how we are doing, but it's managed automatically, kind of understood environment. And we deliver so many jobs like every day in our life.
Sure.
We'll be with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And same philosophy was split computing. So if one task or one job one computer do, but instead of doing one computer, we split with multiple computers. And that task is handled much faster based on how fast we need. Like if I have to need like 100% more, then I will split between two. If I need 300% more, I split with three.
Sure.
So we did with so many of up to 100 computers and split it. And
wow.
So here is the magic of this split computing came. I have like 100 computers on network. They're working, delivering their task. So normally the first computer with whom like some clients send the job, they only know the first computer. So all 99% real task is handled by all 99 other computers. They are invisible to the client.
Sure.
So any connections or any other server they're communicating. So the client is kind of like connects, we call with the first computer, we call the connection server.
Sure.
So they only know connection server and other computer, we tell them as a data server. So normally they deliver data and they perform their jobs. So, and they are invisible.
Right.
And so if somebody want to hack my system, so in split protocol, what I did is like a connection server, we kept empty. There is nothing.
Sure.
If somebody hack into that computer, they will get nothing. So none of the data from where coming. So when client receive all the data, they think that connection server is sending all the data.
Sure.
So that was the prime concept of developing split protocol. And based on that, I wrote paper in 2015 in IEEE publications. And based on that paper, there are like almost six pattern already I see from Google. Mm-hmm. Google has cited all of these six pattern, and I did two patent on that idea, how cloud should work, how security should work.
Sure.
So those are like, I said, this accidentally came up split mechanism, like splitting task.
Right.
So those folks in networking, let's say in networking OSI layer, we have mm-hmm. seven layer.
Yep.
And each layer task is handled by seven computers. So this application is one computer, data, transmissions, others. So this way, like everybody's like separated, but they're handled independently. So that was like my research area, somehow
sure.
stand in that area. And then I entered into a field of security. Originally, I wanted to go with, I said, high performance, how fast I can do, like much
right.
better one, how we can deliver the better job. And then we entered into cryptography and That's the area made me in cybersecurity, and I started teaching cybersecurity course.
Sure.
And that's today's my focus is more on cloud security, privacy. And recently we built and patent also. So on privacy of your data on cloud. So normally, like cloud users, every application, all the business is going cloud. Everybody prefer cloud. And only concern with using cloud, you don't know what security mechanism are
they have in place. Yeah.
So yeah, once you give your data to the cloud, so you are on mercy of cloud service provider.
Sure.
What they do, whether they're keeping secure or not, how do you know? So this kind of still there's a concerns on cloud service providers. So we came up with a new idea called the proxy re-encryption mechanism. Proxy re-encryption is a mechanism which will, let's say, I have account in Google Drive and you have account in a Dropbox. I want to share my data from Google Drive to Dropbox. Okay, so you don't have an account in Google Drive. You only account in Dropbox. So using this proxy re-encryption scheme, I can share from Google Drive to Dropbox or any other clouds.
Sure.
And the mechanism is here is that we use your public key.
Yep.
And I encrypt. Then it give to the cloud, and there's a proxy server which takes your public encrypt data and give to you. Let's say I encrypted data using your public key, and only your private key will able to decrypt that data.
Right.
For example, if you go on for vacation, if you're the boss of the company, mm-hmm. and so you may not able to read. Other person, if you go, other people will not able to read because all informations are encrypted within your private key. You're not going to give other people your private key. So we came with the idea that your private key will be substituted with somebody else's private key.
Right.
So if I'm delegating, if I'm gone for 1-6 months,
right.
So I will delegate somebody else. And so in existing data that my current encrypted ciphertext will be transmitted with other person's ciphertext.
Wow.
So he will be able to read the all information. So whom I'm delegating means whom I'm authorizing,
sure.
that person will only able to read. So this is very unique technology, especially for cloud.
Well, essential, really. I mean, it's good business sense for continuity, because how often have we missed out on opportunities? Oh, the boss isn't here and he's got the account to that. And that's brilliant. Did you experience a lot of attention from the early cloud pioneers with some of your principles that you discovered?
Yeah, I see. I get some of mostly like idea originally we started.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, like Google is prime. I think they
right.
mm-hmm. have like almost I said same idea 10 already 10 patent. I think 6 is already there.
Yeah, sure.
The market and I'll see there are more patent on same architecture, same idea ideology.
Excellent.
So like today is like even the Facebook, right? So when you give the data privacy, I think recently 3-4 months before Facebook said they will keep your data private and they will not see your data.
Right.
So currently like for Google, I know all the government can see your data, right? Google, anything we do, Google has to provide to them. Or not. So right now,
with justification, debating, right?
I don't want to go into debate.
Right.
But this kind of normal understanding, like if government needs something really important,
right?
Something national security issue, they should be able to do that.
Sure.
So same. This keeping like there is no privacy still. That so this technology will provide privacy. Like,
sure.
So neither like Google will able to see your data. Or neither like the server or those people who do the encryption mechanism, they will not able to see the data.
Right.
So underlying text is ciphertext. So nobody will read that text. So that's kind of my research area and currently work on very good application in healthcare and blockchain type.
Of course. Yeah, I was just going to ask what impact has this work had on the blockchain revolution that's occurring?
Right. So in blockchain, like currently, I think right now, I think like many companies are moving towards a blockchain.
Right.
So every top those 500 companies, out of 10, 6 companies are trying to adopt blockchain technology.
Sure.
And the blockchain is like, there's two types of blockchain, one private and right. other is public kind of blockchain
right.
Mechanism. So in blockchain, like there's a, let me simply first what blocks like community of computers, they connect. So everybody has same rights, whatever they, one computer can do, similarly other can do. So they are all equals.
Sure.
So there's another kind of a blockchain where there's a, like a, so in this, like everybody's equal is what we call, I will rather refer, we will tell this term that everybody no need any permissionless blockchain. Hmm. So anybody can, but in some scenario, let's say for example, bank or those kind of private, so you
yeah.
don't want to give all the information permissions to everybody, then there need to be some mechanism. So there is kind of permission mechanism blockchain.
We'll be with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
So that will minimize kind of blockchain has only, I really love the blockchain technology privacy-wise, but this people may not understand the blockchain is not mean for security.
Right.
It's for distributedness, keeping right. your data like for forever, and so nobody can manipulate with them. So
right.
that's one area, and people misunderstood that blockchain means security. So there's a lot of holes. So where this our technology will come in the blockchain.
Right? Sure.
So if the machines or those blocks, they don't know what underlying technology, so hacker will not able to hack into the system, or they will not able to know.
Right.
So since like if one block in blockchain, like if one block understand, so that means everybody understands.
Right.
So what architecture we are using, something need anonymity, we need those proxy kind of
right.
So in especially in permissionless to permission, so they need some kind of delegation.
Sure.
So first they are permission, because unless you trust, like this is the example, if I go to you, if I introduce to you, I may come to your home. So first time you may be reluctant. You may not allow me to go to your home or welcome to your family or somebody. But as I get familiar with you and we go dinners, and then I automatically get trust and I become the part of your family,
right.
kind of blockchain.
Yeah.
So same way, first time we're getting that permission mechanism,
mm-hmm.
that so when we use this technology, we can minimize, like instead of having millions of devices running all the time for authorizings and all.
Right.
So a few devices with have permissions mechanism. And can handle all those security aspects, privacy aspects, security aspects.
Right.
So that will save a lot of energy, because millions of nodes nowadays, they are running all the time.
Right, unnecessarily in some cases, yeah.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. I'm really against of this energy. Like
yeah.
we're blasting our universal energy. Like many country, like we are wasting on blockchain, like
sure.
mining. Right, so there is another way to generate money. Why we waste energy? The planets, what we call energy, green energies.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that can help in that area, like two way, reducing number of nodes and second energy consumptions and keeping privacy. So those are interesting area and. if somebody can Google like blockchain like with my name and privacy, so you'll find a publication and read more on this audience. I will advise them to. So it's very hard to like explain sometime those technical things on air. But I think that's kind of area.
Well, and it seems too that while we have the energy saving component, if we're minimizing the nodes in use, there's going to be some cost savings potentially, reduction in infrastructure cost to get services done. I mean, and you're seeing some of that value in of course the cloud computing, but this is more. Would you say this is closer to the cluster computing concept?
Correct. It's closer to cluster computing.
Yeah. Excellent. Do you have concerns about the proliferation of a blockchain, or do you think the technology is moving at a decent pace?
I like the blockchain technology, but I don't like the mechanism that Bitcoin or mining or currencies from that.
Right.
Underlying technology, blockchain is a good idea.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But there need to be new, I said, permissions or very few nodes.
Yeah.
If something is, let's say something is true, like validated by 100 people, okay, we don't need to validate by millions of people.
Right.
From sample, we know these are good. 100 people say something is true. That means we need to believe it's true.
Yeah.
It means some statistically significant number. If say that's true, so why we should need to have like millions of, or now eventually be billions of devices, IoTs and everything will be the part of blockchain.
Sure.
And it will consume a lot of energies and costs to the earth, and especially as a green energy area, I'm really concerned about that.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Now, sitting in your position in academia, what is your sort of pronouncement upon the readiness and the preparation of cybersecurity students that are coming through, and how are you seeing them succeed in industry?
So right now, what I say, the students are not cybersecurity, they're a little tough area, and people think kind of physics and maths kind of concept. So those students coming are going get easy degree from there. They will not get, they get frustrated and they will be difficult. But those people know that this is the field require a lot of preparation work, and that get ready. And those students are really good for industry. So now every industry need, there's a huge gap of cybersecurity faculties, students also, like faculty and employee, every company will need cybersecurity, because every minute you get hundred millions of attack every day. Ordinary organizations having those kind of attack. So if we don't defend those 100 millions of attack, if like one attack succeed, it will destroy our economy. So it's kind of for defensive side is like from attacker point of view, out of 100 million, which one is successful, he's successful.
Yeah.
For defender side, from our side perspective, we need to defend all 100 millions.
Right.
Then only be successful. So this is, you can see that intensity of preparedness required. So we need to be well prepared. We need to be one step ahead of what game plan hackers are playing, thinking like hacker, understanding. And it's people think that cybersecurity or hacking, somebody, it will be story for somebody else. It will never happen to me.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people live in that. So what types of, say, from the high school students that you see come in, what types of levels of readiness are you seeing in those? And what more would you hope to see from high schoolers coming in to the university?
Yeah. Yeah, I see that the high schoolers are really interested in cybersecurity. The reason they want to know how the hacking works, how this underground network works. What is that?
Dark web,
Dark web works.
Right.
Dark web, and how to get many people attracted to cyber is like free money, or they try to use like free tools.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're successful, they will be successful. So, unless like some countries have strict policies, we can protect, we can keep away people from doing harmful things.
Yeah.
But in many countries, we don't have our boundaries, or we don't have control or legal control they can do. Like, so many, many people and countries, like underdeveloped country, they are mostly trying to learn on cybersecurity.
Sure.
So there are so many tools available online, and you don't need any training, any knowledge.
Yeah.
You just need to know how to use those tools. So those are folks entering into, and they do the more damages because
they don't know what
they are doing.
And in some cases don't care. And I know that at the adult level, we are putting good emphasis and heavy emphasis on ethical hacking and white hat hacking and that approach. Because a great responsibility and tool like this needs to have a balance in sort of an ethical mindset. And so what you're kind of highlighting is perhaps the high school students are not getting that ethical component.
I think that's most important is ethical component. Like, mm-hmm. So what we supposed to do or what not to do.
Right.
So this is kind of gray area where they want to, some of students or somebody started their career as a white hat hacker. They like anything hacking is with permission. Like you're testing somebody's system and you hack, asking them, okay, let me see that your system has any vulnerabilities or any weakness I can identify. And then they allow you permission and you can test out. But many times, you have permission to test out, but not to modify.
Right.
So those are by accidentally you go and do modify something that will be a disaster for those company and or government or anything.
Right, right.
So where there's gray hat hacker people. So mm-hmm. the intention is to start with good thing, but they do end up with doing some wrong. And there are millions of people, especially their objective is hacking for their livings, making money. So it's easy and fastest way to make money.
Right.
So a lot of folks are interested in this area.
Right.
But it's very, I will advise all the students or audience, their curiosity about cybersecurity, don't try any tools. Don't play around.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there are places to go and do that type of thing just to explore, some of the hacking challenges and the games and the closed loop networks. But
need to be under some supervision of somebody or, you're doing what you're doing. Somebody need to know. So don't explore and many people are encouraged by watching those TV series,
movies,
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, well, or they hack into something with three keystrokes. It's just amazing. I'm like, how do they do that?
Correct. It's kind of it's this very interesting area. Like very easily you can encouraged and try to deep dive in that area.
Sure. What things would you want students to be studying before they come into your program? Because I know a lot of kids are, they've got good heads on their shoulders and they're ready to go. What academic path should they be taking in high school to get ready to work with you, for instance, in the university in cybersecurity?
So cybersecurity is a very broad area. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like many people think it is, unless you're a strong programmer or you can do, but cybersecurity is very, like I said, very large area. If you're good in math, if you're good in gamings like encryptions, if you're not a programmer, still you do cybersecurity. If you're good, the planning area, managing area, also, that's also very good scope for cybersecurity. So it's not necessarily be your programming, your coding, your developing. So at least you know how to use them, how to protect them. A very simple way, like a layman also can protect and defend their systems by using. So those are things I need to make clear that you don't need the complexity of knowledge.
Great.
But straightforward, whatever you like, you can enter. This is a huge area. Definitely contribute. You can contribute.
That's wonderful to hear. And it's kind of from your own story where you said to yourself, hey, my business skill is not enough. I need to understand the technology behind it to go to that next level of success. And so you diversified yourself. And, that's sort of the challenge, I believe, from the doctor today is to diversify your education. what's the next big thing that, let's say using small business as an example, but you could also think about enterprise. What's the next big security concern you see on the horizon?
So mostly, like I'd say right now is most of the malwares, adwares, you guys are phishing kind of events. So very popular like hacking was there even before computer were invented.
Of course.
So you might be knowing that I was really impressed with one of the, I think Geico's their ad. Okay, the prince is like, we will be going to reach. Prince is asking everybody's social security number.
Right.
Okay, this was like very, very old, like maybe like 100-year-old.
Yes.
So yeah, everybody will be rich. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things still, you trust me, like there's one tactic called Nigerians tactics. So I say I'm the owner of Mr. Johnson and Johnson's kind of, and I have the multi-million in my account. I need to transfer to
right,
you.
So right.
Can you send me like $300?
Right, right.
So I can transfer to your account.
Well, the social engineering, the phishing, obviously, and that kind of lends itself more credibility to what you've said about diversifying. I mean, the one big area too is cyber psychology now, and so there's really a place in this discipline for everyone. You know, I've had some recent discussions that, you know, we don't want to be insular at cybersecurity over here in the corner. Really, we're integrated.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity is kind of like part of being aware of everything what we do, like social engineering. Right? So people, once you get to know somebody and they know what's your habit, and from there they can identify what you're trained. Now it's like machine learning nowadays. Like, so hacker, they learn much faster than what you're doing.
Right.
Your habit. Google knows, like, so what you are typing, Google knows. If somebody knows that algorithm, they will know what you are doing. So they don't need to press what exactly keystroke what you are doing, but they can predict what
they can predict.
So those are the
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Rawal is a successful businessman, a very, very effective academic. He's taught me quite a bit here, and hopefully all of us here. Definitely a speed computing pioneer, but he's seen so many things along the way. And we're just delighted, Doctor, that you've joined us on our show today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My name is Abe Thompson. We're here on the New Cyber Frontier. Good day.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.